Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're continuing with Canto 5, Chapter 19, Text Number 6. Just a little correction going back to text number 2. In the published version that I'm holding in my hand, BBT purport, the last line of the purport of text 2 reads, Ayodhya City is still existing in the district of Hyderabad. And in the digital version, it says it differently. Yeah. So you're looking at your digital devices and I'm looking at the BBT printed version and they made the correction in the digital version, but the printed version didn't get that correction made. That's a little explanation. So text six seems to be, a continuation of an understanding from text 5. So in text 5, the understanding, without reading the whole verse, nothing is lamentable for him. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so this part of his Leela, that's a little puzzling. Hanuman's explanation is Lord Ramachandra wanted to show the world by his own example what happens when one becomes unduly attached to male-female association. Now, some people may not get it. They may get something else. But the intention of the Personality of Godhead is being revealed by Hanuman. And then this understanding continues over in text 6. There's a lesson of, as Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, one will have to suffer if there's undue attachment to anything. And there's a very strong attachment as male-female association, top on the hit parade. So there's suffering if there's undue attachment. And you're supposing there isn't even undue attachment. Then there's no suffering. But, you know, there's circumstances that may be unpleasant, but suffering isn't other thing than unpleasant. You know, pleasant, unpleasant. Beyond happiness and distress. The stita di muni, or, you know, in Bhagavad Gita's language, one who is fixed in transcendence is equal. Doesn't mean because they're equal, it doesn't mean they don't even know what it means to have an unpleasant feeling. Like a nice example, because we've been discussing it, is Suniti. Suniti had, the Bhagavatam says, a whole variety of unpleasant feelings, negative emotions. but she wasn't impacted by it in the same way that people that are attached or unduly attached experience it. She accepted it and she transcended it and she felt protected by the personality of Godhead. So protection by the personality of Godhead doesn't mean you never have a negative emotion. It means you're protected by the Supreme Lord when circumstances provoke something unpleasant or something pleasant. You can be protected from trying to be the enjoyer of something pleasant. In a false ego, I'm the enjoyer spirit. It is what it is, and if it's something fortunate, you offer that to Krishna. If it's something that's unfortunate, you accept it and consider how to be best in service to Krishna in the unfortunate circumstance. Now, that's a devotee, that's a jiva. Now, here's the Supreme Lord who's modeling the ideal king. As if he was a jiva, but he's not. The ideal king. So, he's teaching a lesson. He's entitled to teach a lesson. He's entitled to teach a lesson however he likes. And, you know, somebody will say, well, why did he do it that way? Because he had to suffer and Sita had to suffer. And so it's a mundane lens to look at what's going on. So Hanuman is looking at it through a different lens. He's the personality of Godhead. He's Paramatma, the Lord of the heart. He's not attached to anything that's of the temporary realm. Sita's not of the temporary realm. Sita doesn't feel, anyway, there's the Leela, where she feels things, and then there's the transcendental attachment to the personality of Godhead. There's the Dharma, and there's the Prema, woven into one pastime. So here's text 6. In the Sanskrit, navai, navaisa, atma, atma, mavatam. So that's a key verse that, a key word in the verse that's going to be amplified in the purport. Translation. Text 6. Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved supersoul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. So, relationship with supersoul's friend, suradam sarvadehinam. Even, you know, people that ignore him, he remains of good disposition towards them. He is full of all opulences, therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife. Nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshmana, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. So giving up Sita, and when Sita was kidnapped, that wasn't giving her up. Sending her to Valmiki's ashram was, in Leela, giving her up. Not possible. Not only he didn't suffer, it's not explicitly said, she didn't suffer. But, you know, through prema, there was apparent suffering. He was suffering, she was suffering. That's another story. That's an ecstasy. It's a mystery that's discussed in Rupa Goswami's writings, summarized in Nectar Devotion, but explained nicely in Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and elaborated upon by Jiva Goswami. And in short, the pain of separation due to prema is an ecstasy. misfortune that comes to another who's dear to you. In the realm of prema, it's a heightened ecstasy. Now, that's not the material lens. But Hanuman is not seeing with the material lens. He's seeing with a spiritual lens. Here's the purport. In defining the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we say that he is full in all six opulences. Wealth, fame, strength, influence, beauty, and renunciation. He is called renounced because he is not attached to anything in this material world, semicolon. He is specifically attached to the spiritual world and the living entities there. The affairs of the material world take place under the superintendence of Durga Devi. Srishti stiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharti durga. Everything is going on under the strict rules and regulations of the material energy represented by Durga. Therefore, the Lord is completely detached and need not give attention to the material world. Sita Devi belonged to the spiritual world. Similarly, Lord Lakshmana, Ramchandra's younger brother, is a manifestation of Sankarsana, and Lord Ramachandra himself is Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paragraph. Since the Lord is always spiritually qualified, he is attached to servants who always render transcendental loving service to him. He is attached to the truth in life, not to brahminical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. Although he is the supersoul of all living entities, he is specifically manifest to those who are self-realized. And he is especially dear to the hearts of his transcendental devotees because Lord Ramachandra descended to teach human society how dutiful the king should be. He apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshmana. Sita, that's the banishment, or she goes to Valmiki's ashram, and we read yesterday, we'll read it again, about the situation with Lakshmana. Factually, however, he could not have given them up. One should therefore learn about the activities of Lord Ramachandra from a self-realized soul. Then one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. I'm going to read Jiva Goswami's commentary, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. But before I do that, just this little curious. He is attached to the truth in life, not to brahminical qualities. Indeed, he's never attached to any material qualities. Now, one of the celebrated verses, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hittaya Cha. What does that mean? Govinda, or the Personality of Godhead, or Ramchandra, we heard it yesterday evening, he, you know, in his, like, chivalrous talk with Kara, I want to give protection to the Brahmanas. And you're not just, like, disturbing them, you're killing them. And they should not have that fear. So he, Ramchandra, like Krishna, Govinda, holds cows and brahmanas very dear. So what is it about the brahmanas? We just read, he's not attached to brahminical quality, he's attached to the truth. So Brahman is not only one who A true Brahmana is not only one who follows Brahminical rules, and in the course of following Brahminical rules, they have more mode of goodness, sama dhamma tapaksho cham chantir arjavam evacha, gyanam vigyanam astikyam. This word vigyana is an important word in Bhagavad Gita. Realized knowledge, Prabhupada often translates it as, and in other places it's knowledge of the soul and knowledge of the Supreme Soul. That's realization of what is beyond the temporary. Jnana vijnanam astikyam. So one who has vijnana, say it again, they have realization of the soul and the super soul. You know that verse, I think it's 5:2, the phenomenal and numinous. Phenomenal is, you know, these qualities and anything that's of this manifest temporary realm, including the mode of goodness and what the mode of goodness manifests through matter. And there's varieties of matter and varieties of manifestations of matter according to the modes and so forth. That's not what Krishna is attached to. I favor those in the mode of goodness. I mean, cows are in the mode of goodness and the brahmanas are in the mode of goodness, so he favors those in the mode of goodness. But it's not the mode of goodness that this is, it's just a detail. But what is it that he favors? Their vijnana, and through their vijnana, then they have these other qualities that are supported by their understanding of Brahman and Parabrahman, the soul and the Supreme Soul. That's what this interesting sentence, two sentences are saying. Let's read it again. He is attached to the truth in life, not to the Brahminical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. So now let's go to these two commentaries. Bhanu Swami is the translator, and his translation of both Jiva Goswami's and Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's rendering of this verse, text 6, is slightly varied, responding to the commentary, I believe. But here's the translation. Rama, Paramatma, the best friend of the devotees, full of six qualities of Bhagavan, Vasudeva, is not attached to the three worlds. Otherwise, he should not have become bewildered by a woman, and should not have given up Lakshmana. So here's Jiva Goswami's reference to Priti Sandarbha. Two paragraphs. The pastime is not material. I mean, this pastime or pastimes, not material. Pastime does not arise from attachment to desire. It arises for showing special mercy to his devotees. Paragraph. He is not attached to the three worlds because he is Paramatma. He is full of all powers, Bhagavan, and the shelter of all Vasudeva. He is the best friend of the devotees who have possessiveness of him. So here's that word that's in the verse. Atma Vatam. Remember that? Atma Vatam, the first line of the verse. That's the devotees. And he feels towards the devotees that are Atma Vatam, Atma Vatam, towards them. He's attached to them. They're attached to him. And they're not attached to anything else. And he's not attached to anything else. It's love. Transcendental. He is the best friend of the devotees who have possessiveness of him, Atma Vatam, for whom he exists as a master. Therefore, he could not undergo suffering caused by attachment to a woman like others, but he would undergo suffering for Sita, who is the object of his love, which causes such suffering, since she has the greatest possessiveness of him. Giving up Lakshmana, though he was a great devotee, since he interrupted Rama's consultation with Devaduta, could also not have been done, which is Hanuman's statement. Later, he ascended to his abode with Sita, Lakshmana, and others who were waiting for him to come to Vaikuntha. Also, see that he is even now with Sita in Kim Purusha Varsha. We now know something more about Kim Purusha Varsha. We've been discussing that a bit because that's said in the second verse. That's where Hanuman resides, and Hanuman, where Hanuman resides, guess what? Ram is there. And where Ram is, guess what? Sita is there. So, Jiva Goswami is confirming. Thus, he only appeared to suffer in order to preserve the conventions. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. We read it yesterday. Here it is again. He is never attached to the three worlds because he is Paramatma. He is the best friend of those for whom the Lord is the object of service. Atma Vatam. And because he is full of the six qualities, Bhagavan. If one does not accept that the Lord is controlled by prema, then he should not have fallen under illusion created by a woman like an ordinary person. If one does not accept his spiritual qualities, he should not have given up Lakshmana. He was unfaithful to a dear friend and servant and, you know, so he shouldn't. So, but he did. These lila wise. So here's the detail of Ramayana somehow. I never heard it before. The advisor, Devaduta, informed Rama that Rama should kill anyone who came in the room at that time since they were having a private talk. Lakshmana, situated at the door as the guard, then came to inform Rama that Durvasa Muni had come. Rama, in anger, was ready to kill him. Vasishtha said, "Give him up." And Rama did so. Therefore, by this pastime, Rama taught prema and dharma. The previous verse correctly said that Rama appeared in this world to teach human beings. So we discussed this yesterday, and I don't have a whole lot to say about what Dharma principle was being taught to human society. That is to say, we know from Bhagavad Gita, there's one of the categories of activity is emergency. And emergency supersedes normal course of activity. The house is on fire. Then, you know, you stop whatever you're doing. The house is on fire. Emergency. So, according to Lakshmana's evaluation, Durvasa Muni's arrival was an emergency. And it superseded any other thing. We don't, I mean, there's no information here. What Ram said to Lakshmana, like, no matter what, don't interfere, don't interrupt, don't let anybody else interrupt, no matter what. Maybe he said that, and then he interrupted. And Deva Dutta said, and so Vasishtha said, the only thing I could think of that's like close to this is Queen Kunti establishing a rule. The five Pandavas would for 1 month each spend the month with Draupadi, and the others would not enter when they were together. And Arjuna entered to get his weapons because he needed his weapons to protect the cows that were being attacked. And he repelled the attackers. And then he came back to tell Yudhisthira, I have to go on pilgrimage for purification because I violated the word of our mother. And Yudhisthira said, no, you know, it was an emergency. And the emergency still precedes the statement of our mother. And, you know, it's one of these Dharma principles that even some instruction is given, if there's an emergency, one may violate it. And, but Arjuna said, no, I violated our mother's instructions. I have to purify myself. So that's the only sense that I have, because I don't know the details of the Leela. Perhaps Ram said, no matter what. And he violated. So it's to be, you know, it's adharma. So to uphold dharma in the face of adharma, he banished him. Don't know the detail. But there's at least these two lenses to look through. Ram teaching dharma. Ram reciprocating in loving way with his devotee. Now, when Sita was sent to the ashram of Valmiki, you know, Lakshmana was the one taking her. You know the detail. Ram said, don't tell her, but take her and leave her. You tell her whatever you want to tell her. Tell her, you know, let's go, you know, go pay respects to Valmiki. You like living, you like the forest life. And then at the right time, let her know she's not coming back. And, you know, he broke down and cried and cried and cried. Why are you crying and crying? And then he blurted it out. This is my terrible, wicked mission instructed by Ram. And, you know, she took it that whatever is the will of my Lord and Master, so be it. That's the role of the wife in the regard for her husband. Then, you know, the ideal husband, the ideal wife. And then on the prema side, she knows she couldn't bear it. And then Valmiki, you know, it's all these interactions. Valmiki makes some statements. In Valmiki Ramayan, he makes some statements about why he, his decision to accept her. She's the goddess of fortune. I accept her. It's the will of Ram. It's the submission of Sita. I'll accept her. I'll give her protection. And a place in his ashram and so forth. The birth ceremony and so on. So there's these, at least these two, weaving back and forth, Dharma and Prema, in reciprocation with people in general, and very particular reciprocation with the devotees that may not be understood by a non-devotee at all, because non-devotees don't understand Prema. And even we don't so well understand Prema. It's mysterious, but through our acharyas, we can at least get a glimpse of the loving exchange, a particular loving exchange. So the Hanuman is going back. It's not possible that he gave up Sita. The Leela says he gave up Sita. It's not possible that he gave up Lakshmana. The Leela says he gave up Lakshmana. It's not possible. Therefore, if it's not possible, what is it? It's Leela. It's the impossible. And that makes some soothing feeling to the heart. While, on the other hand, the soothing feeling to the heart, feeling empathy with poor Sita, how she must have felt. Lakshmana, how he must have felt. Now, it doesn't say what happened afterwards. Quite possibly, who knows, the Lord Ramachandra could have done whatever he wanted to do in relation to Lakshmana after he said, you know, get out of here. Under the order of Vashishta and Devaduta. Somehow, some embrace, I'm sure. You know, because of the deeper affection of master to servant. Mysterious. Any discussion? You have some questions already? No? On the...
Online, not yet.
Okay. Yeah. Any... In the room, any...
I have a question.
You do.
I'm just thinking about the interaction between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Arjuna.
Mm.
Their response is very matured. Like Yudhishthira saying to Arjuna, it's an emergency, and Arjuna taking responsibility, I violated the dharma like that. But in the real situation, I see the situations like where... junior devotee gets triggered by senior devotee, or the other way also, senior devotee get triggered by junior devotee. And I mean, I see that around, you know, like in some services in the temple. So senior devotees, they don't have some capability, but there's some junior devotee comes in and then they do it. Or one of the responses, they get disturbed. They're not doing this. Their senior devotees like that. Or thus...
Yes, it happens.
That other situation is they do it, but senior devotee may not. I mean, is not happy.
Got it? Yeah. We're conditioned souls. And even more so, we're not cultured. But a cultured person that may not be perfected... Arjuna and Yudhisthira, a cultured person may simply accept. You know, from both sides. The senior person, you know, or the junior person is being non-accepting and disrespectful or whatever. Or the senior person may, like, put his foot down like Ram did. Or, you know, or any other of 100 different responses. And, you know, this, similarly, where there's cultured persons, you know, the junior person looks to the senior person with regard, regardless. That's Vedic culture. You know, there are vestiges of Vedic culture still around. But like, you know, the father or the elder brother. And there's regard. I know families that work on that principle. They know that the elder brother is not a perfect being, but they follow the etiquette or the culture of respecting the elder brother. They may, in a private circumstance, offer counsel to the elder brother, and the elder brother may, you know, receive nicely the advice of the younger brother. You know, it's not in temple. There's so many dynamics all over the place. And then there's the culture of no culture. And we've grown up in that culture of no culture, or at least, you know, some of us have grown up, and some of you are from some other part of the world, and here you are in a culture of no culture, and we behave the way the no uncultured people behave. And the further we go from culture or Vedic, you know, Vaishnava etiquette, we implicate ourselves in all kinds of things, negative emotion and offense and, you know, prolonging and stirring up the material energy in a very unproductive way. There are cultured ways, rather, to address discrepancy, both from the senior and the junior. And, you know, it takes some finesse, it takes some refinement, it takes some higher modes of nature to be able to do that. This is Kali Yuga. Refinement is hard to find. So what do? We look at, you know, scripture. And we're through sound, through faith in that sound, we can move towards this higher nature and leave behind the lower one. And there's some people that want to move, and there's some people that don't want to move. And there's some people in between.
So, Amara Mataji's question.
When you read the question, leave off the
name.
The name is fine, but you know, Haribo Maharaj, thank you very much for a nice class and all that stuff. Leave that out.
Many people go through tribulations, taking inspiration from Lord Ram's Leela or Pandava's lives that they also had to go through. How to understand that he was setting an example and was not going through those feelings like we go through?
How to understand it? Through sound vibration. That which we don't have experience of, that which is beyond our experience, that is pure consciousness, we can get a glimpse of pure consciousness through sound vibration. The material creation happens through sound, and spiritual elevation happens through sound. That's our medium, the sound, and faith in the sound, and the transmitters of that sound originally, ultimately, it's the personality of Godhead, and those that are in service to him, particularly in disciplic succession, and we have faith in that, and that's how we can see beyond our experience, which isn't pure consciousness. Through sound.
Leela Shri Mata is asking this question. My question is regarding the topic of attachment. Both adults and kids go through this. But adults can understand slowly, attachments can be given away with practice.
Attachment can be what?
But for adults, attachments can be given away with practice.
Given away, away. Given up.
Given up. And then for kids, even due to association with other kids and so school environment, they get attached to many things, even though they know they have hard time giving up. How can we as adults help them? How can we help
adults? Parenting question. Okay. It's not that a parent should give up attachment to your children. That would be really horrible. But appropriate and not undue attachment. And the attachment, ideally, moves towards the spiritual conception of this child is a spirit soul entrusted to me by Krishna to give, to take care of their physical needs and their emotional needs and their spiritual needs. You know, the holistic picture of the package over there, this child of mine, Krishna has given me this service. So we do the service with due attachment, spiritualizing it as far as our consciousness permits. That's from the parent's side. Now, from the child's side, how can the parent help the child? Well, one of the ways to teach a child is modeling. And, you know, modeling it in a consistent fashion. Not, you know, we each have our triggers or we have our limitations. And then something crosses that line and, you know, the bad quality comes out instead of the good quality. Or it's, you know, not only a boundary, but, you know, just the modes moving us because we're not perfected souls. So we don't model so well. But the best way to transfer is, first of all, having the quality yourself. And then, you know, it depends on the individual to pass on that quality, not just by behavior, but by quality. So different things, like explaining, you know, what's the understanding is of going over in that direction, what's the consequence, and going over in this direction, what's the consequence? Is that real? The consequence of the where people that are going in that direction, what does it look like? And then people that don't go in that direction, what does it look like? Now, which is the better direction to move in? Or another principle of parenting, Prabhupada spoke about this often, and that is the higher taste principle. To tell a child, don't do that. They may, Prabhupada's explanation, because he was a father, they may, for a few minutes, not do that. Because they're told, don't do that. They may or may not. But even if they do, without a higher taste, they'll go back to doing it because there's some attraction over there. So, what's the higher taste? That's a principle of parenting. And so in that principle of higher taste parenting, it may be based upon the relationship and based upon the time that the parent has, the time the child has, and the relationship between the two to do things together that are of the higher taste, whatever that might be. Engaging propensities of the youth, the child, that's in the direction of wholesomeness. Not by pushing or just nourishing, inviting, providing resources and sangha and, you know, affection and all that towards the wholesome side. And then that gives a higher taste. And part of the nature of parenting is from the parent's side just to accept that in some cases, child A or B or C may, by their prior to their becoming your child, they had some standing influence with this mode, that mode, or the other mode. And accept. And continue to be the affectionate parent, modeling and not pushing but inviting and doing these other things. But accepting if there's some things seem to be moving in a direction that's not what the parent would want for the child. You know, there has to be some boundary. And when boundaries are set, parents to child, best if the child understands why the boundary is there. It's just like it's detrimental. And it's not only parenting, it's, you know, like this thing that the mayor of Chicago had to do with people that were just ignoring the coronavirus constraints, and they're going off to the lakefront, and, you know, so, you know, she had to get really heavy. She used the rod and said, we're sending the police out there, and if you continue to do this, those who do this, we're going to give citations. Now, I don't know what the citation reads, because where's the law of the city of Chicago that says whatever they're going to get the citation for? I don't know. But then, you know, you can end up getting fined. If you keep doing it, you get in prison. No, that's the mayor to the citizens, but, you know, for protection. So there has to be some boundaries that it's just not okay. But then what those boundaries are and how you convey what those boundaries are, that's part of parenting. So if that does come, if discipline is required, then it should be with an understanding of why. And some warning of why. And then what that discipline is depends upon the parent and the child. Hey, parenting isn't easy. Next.
This question is from Shrida Prabhu.
Wow.
Could I kindly understand from you about Go Brahmana Hitaycha? Especially in this day and age, Brahmanas are degraded and cows are being slaughtered.
Well, that's not a Brahmana. And, you know, Krishna doesn't like the cow slaughter. Degraded Brahmanas are not Brahmanas. And cow slaughter is disapproved. So Krishna doesn't like it when Brahmanas become degraded and the cows get slaughtered, because they're dear to him, those who are actually Brahmanas. So, you know, start the Hare Krishna movement. You know, engage people in the means for purification so they can understand the importance of giving protection to cows. And has there been some effectiveness? Sure. Is it, you know, 100%? Of course not. The hamburger industry is growing, and steaks and all that. The other is also growing. And Brahmanas, the would-be Brahmanas, are becoming now qualified Brahmanas. So that's, you know, from Krishna's side, that's what Krishna wants. And he smiles upon persons who are engaged in those activities, cow protection, and the actual Brahmana, the Vaishnava Brahmana. Krishna smiles, and those can create more.
And then this question is from Kasturi Manjari Mataji. Krishna or Lord Rama appears and their pastimes are to attract the conditioned souls, conditioned living entities towards them. So when these pastimes bring some negative emotion, just like when Lord Rama sends Mother Sita to ashram of Valmiki, then these negative emotions that the listener may experience, will they take one away from bhakti, or will it still work, bringing one closer to Krishna or Rama?
It's a filtration process. You know, Krishna inciting Arjuna to fight. Krishna telling Yudhisthira to lie. Krishna dancing with the gopis. You know, Krishna's giving reason for moralists to step away. But so at the same time, it's an opportunity for those that are sincere to scratch their head and say, why is the Lord doing this? And then by that inquisitiveness plus good association, they may get a correct understanding, and then they pass through the filter. That is, they have a better understanding now about Bhagavan and how he is and how he's helping us come to his shelter. So yes, there are some people that will go away.
And this question is from Dhanishta Mataji. Could Lakshmana have understood why he was sent away, because he felt secure in his relationship with his brother?
Yes, but I don't know what his response was. My guess is, just based upon other passages in Ramayana, he felt dismissed and was hurt and puzzled. He felt a spiritual emotion, not our kind of hurt and dismissed, but a spiritual kind, of which this is our experience as a reflection, perverted reflection. So my guess is, I don't know this history, but he could very well have felt, and then Krishna arranged for, you know, something else to happen. You know, the brought together again, separation and meeting. On the prema side, my guess is he felt, you know, unhappy. But he could have gone to, hey, this is Ramchandra's teaching the world the lesson, and so I guess I'll just be happy being dismissed.
And two more questions. One is from Balram Prasad Prabhu. Coronavirus is contagious and spreads so fast.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I hear that devotional service or life, devotional life is contagious and it's spreading in a slower pace. Requesting advice from Maharaj.
Well, virus spreads fast anyway. This is my understanding. Aside from coronavirus, there's a virus season. That's what it appears from the CDC people. And it's seasonal. And then there's this virus, that virus. The particular risk is not the rate at which it's spreading, compared statistically, because I've seen some articles that other viruses spread even faster than this one. But the greater risk is lethal. The percentage of people that die from it is 10 times more than other viruses, or more than 10 times. So that's the scare, the mortality rate. And there's no cure, etc. So maybe other viruses have some cure after some time. So back to his question, why bhakti isn't spreading so fast? It's different than spreading a virus. It's like a total realignment of a conditioned soul going from the conditioned soul is going away from Krishna and now going to Krishna. It's different than contracting a disease. which is part of what happens when you have a material body. You contract diseases. That's one of the reasons why it's happening slower. Plus, it's Kali Yuga.
And this is from Radhuti Mataji. Thinking of Lord as one's protector could come from various levels of consciousness.
Yes.
One may think of the Lord when some fear arises.
Yes.
How to go beyond this and see the Lord as one's protector in all circumstances?
Well, it takes pure consciousness. And until one has pure consciousness, you won't see that. So strive for pure consciousness. And our method of striving for pure consciousness is as discussed through sound. Sound coming from transcendence, Krishna, and disciplic succession, and hearing and hearing and hearing. Elevation of consciousness method. And then based upon hearing, then serving and making that connection stronger. Applying what we've heard, make that connection stronger. Continue to accelerate towards pure consciousness.
Thank you for thank you so much for emphasizing and clarifying on that. Lord is not attached to the Brahminical qualities, Guru Maharaj. I have a question on that. In my efforts to cultivate these qualities,
please continue.
One thing I'm struggling with is. There is definitely an endeavor and desire to cultivate, but there is an aspect of, for example, I want to chant my japa in the morning because it sets up a peaceful day at home. And
yes.
Office. So how can I change from something for myself going to that direction?
Well, that's the brahminical quality per se is not what's the thing that pleases Krishna. It's you're making this as an offering unto Krishna. That's pleasing to Krishna. You know, why do you eat the foods that you eat? Because you can offer that to Krishna. And you don't eat other things because you can't offer them to Krishna. Simple. So developing brahminical quality at, you know, this particular example as an offering unto Krishna. Now we're accustomed to, it's all about me. And I want higher consciousness because I don't like to suffer. Because lower consciousness means suffering, and I want the bell to ring. Yay, I succeeded. We're fruitive. It's just like we're driven by that. But that's this whole going from mixed to pure. So the driving force is Krishna is to be pleased. That's at the heart of bhakti. That's the heart of the soul. Pleasing Krishna. And it takes a while to transition from it's all about me to it's all about Krishna. And you practice that purpose, that's bhakti. And in all of its different dimensions, it's all about Krishna, not all about me and my brahminical qualities. And I like this and okay. Anything else?
Guru Maharaj, just the clarification on this sentence that he's attached to truth in life, not brahminical qualities. That's the love that he's attached to and not necessarily the qualities that we're trying to develop.
Well, love and truth are a package. So you can emphasize what's the language here is truth. Sat. Not asat. Because asat, the modes of nature are part of asat. He's attached to sat. So a brahmana is one who knows Brahman. Or sat. Not just the mode of nature quality. So now as far as love, how do you get there? Bhakti will get you there. A Brahmana in the mature stage is a Vaishnava. This is Bhakti Siddhanta's teaching. You're familiar. So, that's love and truth are part of the package. How do you get to truth? Through love. How do you get to love? Through truth. There, it's a package. And it's similar to her question about brahminical quality. You know, writing early and it's all about me. Through love. And then you can connect with truth. And when your pursuit is truth, then you can find real love. Om Tat Sat. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.